Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. Listen after the podcast for more information about TPC DeQuincy.
Well, let me ask you, how many of you, when you were kids, you had somebody bigger than you to pick on you? How many of you remember the days when you were had cousins or family or friends, and they would get you, and what they would do is they would put you on the ground, and then they would take their knees and pin your arms, you know what I'm saying, behind you, and then they would take their knuckle and they would drive it in your chest. Anybody ever had that? Now, that was one level of torture, right? But now, y'all, I know that you cannot believe sweet, innocent me would do this. But I'm fixing to confess, because confession is good for the soul. So I had cousins, yeah? And then I was the eldest of the cousins. So I would get David Jr. down on the ground. I would pin his arms down. And then this is the second level of torture. You would cough up a loogie. Oh, yeah. Hey, I know you can't believe it. And then what you would do, I'm not making this up, then you would start it letting drip down your mouth. And then I would suck it back up. And then I'd let it drip down again. And then sometimes the third level of torture, I'm sorry, Sister Christine, I didn't mean to gross you out. And the third level of torture is most of the time I could suck it back up, but sometimes it didn't make it and it fell right on David Jr.'s face. That's the third level of torture. And when it did, I got up and started running. Because now we're in war. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Well, I'm not here to discuss physical torture tonight. What I want to talk about, and I'm going to be mindful of the time because I went too long this morning, but I want to talk about what tortures our soul. Can I get some honest folk in here tonight? What tortures our soul? And the key thought that I want to bring you tonight is this. If you don't get anything else, get this. Make sure you get this. Here's the key thought. And that is, you are not a body with a soul. You are a soul with a body. You say, Pastor, explain that, okay? In other words, our body is the house that our spirit lives in, right? But when our bodies die, we live on eternally. And even when your body expires, your spirit doesn't, because a soul never dies. Jesus even said, "He that believeth in me shall never die." This is why he goes on to tell us that what does it gain a man? What does it profit, is how he says it, a man, if he gains the entire world and then loses his soul? What he's saying is, if you had the whole world at your fingertips, but then when you die, if you're not saved, it's profited you nothing. You've just left it. Listen, I thank God that we're all blessed financially. And you know what? Even those who may feel like you're the least, so to speak, just because you're an American living in America, you're more rich than 3 billion people on this planet. Can I get a witness? But what a tragedy it would be if you gained everything and then you lost your soul. It's amazing to me that people, guys, y'all stay with me here. It's amazing to me that people will focus on detoxing their bodies. And they do everything to get their bodies together, and that's okay. That's fine. Nothing wrong with that. We're going to go into a Daniel's fast here in January the 14th, and we're going to detox our bodies, and that's good. But you know what? It's more important than detoxing our bodies is to make sure we're detoxing our souls. Can I get a witness? Because the scripture does say, lay aside every weight. Not some of them, but every weight. That would what? It would so easily beset you. It's easy to get distracted in the day and age in which we're living in. Can I talk about it? And we got to make sure as we go into 2019 that we are detoxing not just our bodies, but that we're detoxing our soul. And that we go into this new year saying, God, we want to reach the potential that you have for us. And we don't want anything to torture our soul. We don't want to be tortured in our mind. We want to be everything, God, that you want us to be. The tragedy is that many people look fine on the outside. But you know what? Their soul is toxic. The Apostle Paul talked about this in the book of Romans, chapter 7 and verse 15. He said, you know, I find myself the things that I want to do, I don't do those. And then those things that I don't want to do, that's what I find myself doing. Oh, wretched man that I am. He found this war in his life. This, the flesh pulling this way and the spirit pulling this way. Anybody ever experienced that? And it's this internal battle that maybe, you know, you've done something wrong. And then after you did it, you promised God, God, I'll never do that again. I'll be the first to raise my hand. And I've done that. I've done something and I knew it wasn't right. And I said, God, forgive me, Lord. I'll never do that again. And then guess what? 3 weeks later, the old flesh is weak. And you find yourself doing that very thing that you despised all over again. And then you're plagued with guilt and there's a sense of inward conviction. And on the outside, you can come to church and you can say, praise the Lord. And you can be kind to everybody and you can fool some people. But inside, your soul is being tortured. Here's what 1 Peter 2 and 11 says. I urge you to abstain from sexual desires and sinful desires, which war. Everybody say war. They war against your soul. Notice that passage. It wars against your soul. This is what tortures your soul. We're tortured by the sinful things that we have done. When we do something, and we all have, that breaks the heart of God, we feel guilty. We carry this huge weight and of unconfessed sins, and we're tortured by this. And David in the Old Testament is a great example. When you look in Psalms chapter 38, verses 3 and 4, he's feeling the weight of his sin. And this is what he says. He said, there is no soundness in my flesh because of your anger, nor any health in my bones because of my sin. New King James Version says it like this, for my iniquities have gone over my head like a heavy burden. They're too heavy for me. I'm going to say this tonight as gently as I possibly can, but there are people that are carrying secret sins in their soul today. Do you know that 50%, studies show that 50% of men today struggle with secret lust? It doesn't stop there, though. Now the percentage is 25 to 30% of women are also struggling with that very same thing. People are looking at stuff that could really hurt their marriage, could hurt their reputation, could be very embarrassing, and there's this weight because of it. Others are living a lie, and they have misrepresented themselves or cheated on someone or cheated on something. And in the back of your mind, you know if this comes out, it's going to be really, really bad. But you keep it a secret and your soul is being tortured. For some, it may be the sin of overeating. And you say, I don't want to eat so much. I want to be very clear here tonight. God loves all of us, red, yellow, black, and white. He loves us if we're overweight. He loves us if we're underweight. Okay, so I'm not picking on anyone. But let me tell you the latest statistics. Now, the latest statistics say that 75% of Americans are overweight. Now, for the first time in history, obesity has now become more of a problem than malnutrition. It might be food for you. You might even just fantasize about food, and you look up and you're like, my goodness, I don't want to stay on that. But I'll tell you that we've got to be careful, ladies and gentlemen, because we can really condemn this one because they're not doing what we do. We can really condemn this person for doing this, but we have a bad habit of overeating. And 27 times in the Word of God, it talks about gluttony. You just don't hear it very often because most preachers are overweight. I'm not picking on anyone. I love everyone. And the bigger you are, the more there is to love. I'm just saying, ladies and gentlemen, that you know what? A lot of people now are talking about, well, if you do this, then you're destroying the temple. But can I tell you, there's a number of people with their eating are also hurting their temple. Let's just get honest. For some, it may be overspending. And you feel this emptiness and this void in your life. And so you try to spend, and you spend some more, and then you spend some more, and then you have to lie about your spending. I just love you. I love you. I love you. But I want to tell you, you can't eat your way out of that, and you can't spend your way out of that, and you can't pop your pill and smoke a dope or smoke a cigarette or drink something. You can't do any of that to get out of that. The only thing that is going to fill that vacuum, that void, is Jesus Christ. And your soul is going to stay tortured until you come to an old rugged cross and say, God, Lord, I can't smoke enough, dip enough, drink enough, chew enough, watch enough to satisfy my soul. I got to have you. Do I have any believers in this house? Come on, give God 5 seconds of your best praise. I just say sincerely tonight, I hope you feel my spirit. As a pastor that dearly loves this congregation, that cares deeply about you, I don't want to see you be bullied by Satan, so to speak, where he gets on top of you and pins you down, and you become like a slave to sin, and he's always torturing your soul and saying, you can never overcome this. Your daddy was this, and you're going to be that, and most likely your son is going to be that. I want to preach to somebody tonight and tell you, you can be the one to break that chain. You can be the one to break that chain. You can be the one. You can be the man of God that breaks that chain in your family. So let's start off the new year. What do you say? Detoxing our souls. Detoxing our soul from every sin and every weight that would so easily distract us. It's easy, brothers and sisters, to get into a bad habit. I was talking to one of our sisters today, and she just told me, she said, Brother Nealon, you know, when you miss church, the bad thing about it is it's easier to miss church. Once you miss one service, then you can miss two. And then before long, you've missed the whole month. And it just gets easier. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. The devil will make sure you get distracted by something because he don't want you here. And you got to be careful that distraction doesn't become a habit. And a week turns into a month, and a month turns into 3 months. You know what? There's times that even as your pastor, I don't feel like coming to church. I'll be honest with you. There's sometimes I want a cup of hot cocoa and just sit home and rest my body. But you know what? I got a little lady over there called Molly, and I want her to see her daddy and her mama coming to the house of the Lord. Because my mama and daddy, I never had to wonder, are we going to church? When it was Sunday, we were going to church. We were going to be in the house of the Lord. I don't know how long the Lord tarries, but I want my baby girl and I want my baby boy to be on these pews leading their families. And you know what? I got to be that example. Is it easy all the time? No, it's not. But I got to say, you know what? This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will go to church. I will. I'm going to be faithful. I'm not going to allow distractions and bad habits to become my norm. Is this making sense? We lose our focus and our vision until we get to thinking that there's some things we can't live without. I thought I was going to be short tonight, but boy, that don't work. I love what I do too much. I would tell you now, if you're hooked on Dr. Peppers or Cokes or caffeine, why don't you start weaning yourself off of coffee and those things right now before you get into this Daniel fast. If you think, man, I cannot live my life without a Coke, yes, you can. I can't live without my coffee, yes, you can. Don't get into such a habit that you got to have anything. Here's how I want to live my life. I literally don't want to need anything but Jesus and Janet and my family, so to speak. Does that make sense? I want to need Jesus and Janet and love all of you, but I don't want anything else to get a hold of me. Does that make sense? I want to make sure that my soul is detoxed, my mind and my body. I want to be free so when that trumpet sounds, I don't have anything chaining me down. I'm ready to go up yonder. Come on, somebody. I want this year to be your best year. I want this to be your best year. But you can't make it that. You can't make it that if your soul is being tortured by secret sin. I've lived long enough and I've messed up enough. I wish I hadn't, but I have. I've messed up enough to know that the devil comes to you and says, well, look, you messed up once. You might as well go ahead and do it. I've heard people tell me, you know what? If you thought about cussing, you might as well do it. No, 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 no. You can think about jumping off a bridge, but there's one thing to think about, another thing, do it. I've thought a lot of things I'm glad I didn't say. I had a lot of thoughts I'm glad I didn't act on. And the devil will make you think, well, you already thought it in your mind. You might as well go ahead and do it. The devil is a liar. I said, the devil is a liar. No, you don't have to do that. Why? Because I know how the devil works. He'll keep you longer than what you want to stay, and he'll take you further than what you want to go. And you just got to look at the devil. Y'all may think I'm crazy, but I have literally went down the sidewalk and just blurted out, devil, you're a liar. Just right down the sidewalk, devil, you're a liar. Throw a thought in my mind and be like, you know what? I'll take that thought captive. I'm not going to focus on that. That's a distraction. I know that's not my thought. That's a devil thought. Hey, and you know what? If you don't do it, then you'll start feeding on that. Anybody been with me? You'll start feeding on that thought. And it ain't long, it'll start germinating. And if you keep it up there, it's going to bear fruit. That's why you got to be sure to pull the weeds and plant good seeds. You got to pull the weeds and plant good seeds. You got to say stuff like, this is going to be a great year for me and my family. I've been in some stuff, but I'm coming out of it. I'm going to detox my soul. I'm going to detox my mind. I'm going to detox my body. Come on, somebody. Your spiritual enemy says to you, if anybody knew your secret, they wouldn't like you. If anybody knew what you really did, they would reject you. You can't tell anyone, because if you told anyone, that'd be the stupidest thing ever. And the enemy lies to you and tries to connect you with what you've done, right? And he wants to make you think you failed at something, and because you did fail at something, he wants to make you think you're a failure. I say again, the devil is a liar. You say, well, Pastor, I've got this secret and I'm going to carry it to my grave. What you don't know is your secret's going to take you to your grave. You got to tell yourself two things. Number one, it's better to confess your sin than it is to hide your sin. You say, Pastor, you have Bible for that? I do. Proverbs 28 and 13 says, he who covers his sin. I want you to say this with me. Read it, everybody aloud. Ready? 1, 2, 3. He who covers his sin will not prosper. But whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. Say it again. He who covers his sin will not prosper. Brothers and sisters, you can fool me. You can fool all of your friends. But there's one person you'll never fool, and that is the Lord. And you're not, God's going to give you a season. He's going to give you a chance to repent. But I'm going to tell you something. If you don't, you're going to find yourself not prospering. Because if you don't confess your sin, you're not going to prosper. But if you will confess it and forsake it, then God will show you mercy. But it's your sin, brothers and sisters, that poisons you. And you wouldn't think, you would not think of ever drinking even a thimble full of acid or strychnine. You wouldn't ever think of drinking that. But yet we'll drink the cup of sin. And Satan says, go ahead and do it. It'll fulfill you. You'll have fun. Yes, sin is fun for a season. But after that season is over, sin bringeth forth death. The Bible says that sin pays wages. What are the wages? It's death. But God also pays wages. And if you'll live for Him, the wage He'll pay you is eternal life. And you'll get a home in heaven. And you'll be able to live with the Father for a billion years. And that just starts eternity. Can I keep preaching? Unconfessed sin is like a poison. It's like a poison to your spirit. And I'm going to just say again, as a pastor who deeply cares about you and who is praying for you, listen, I don't want you to be chained to sin. I don't want you to be in bondage to anything. Let's detox the whole month of January. Let's just detox our bodies, our mind, and our spirit. Never underestimate your spiritual enemy's destructive power. He can hurt, he can steal, he can kill, and he can destroy through unconfessed sin. And I'm going to hurry. How many of you have ever seen an Etch-a-Sketch? Let me see your hand. All right. Most of you don't even know what it is, but some of you do. I tried to find an Etch-a-Sketch. They're kind of hard to find these days. But I used to have an Etch-a-Sketch. And for those of you that don't know, there it is. And what you do is you take those two little knobs, and you start drawing. And if you're really a good artist, you can draw like the Taj Mahal with just that Etch-a-Sketch. But here's an Etch-a-Sketch reminds me of the blood of Jesus. Really, an Etch-a-Sketch is a redneck's computer, but I'm just joking. I tell you, I get thoughts in my head. But really, when I look at that and I think about it, you know, you can scribble all over it, but then all you have to do is you take it and you just shake it one time, and then everything that was kind of a mess just goes, and you have a clean slate. I don't know what you've done with your life. It's really none of my business, but I'm going to tell you something. If you've kind of messed up some areas of your life, Jesus's blood is like an Etch-a-Sketch. And when He covers it, you say, well, God, don't you remember on January the 9th, 2014, I did this? And the Lord says, no, I don't. Why? Because the scripture tells us that He puts our sin as far as the east is from the west in a sea of forgetfulness. It's an Etch-a-Sketch, and He just places His blood over you and you have a clean slate. You have an advocate, the Bible says, with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But let me tell you, I know how the devil works, and you do too. But this is how he works. You're only as sick as your secrets. And you know what he wants you to do? He wants you to try to hide that sin. Because if you hide that sin, then he can just beat you up over it. I want to show you a scripture as I hasten here. It's in James 5 and 16. And this is what it says. James 5 and 16. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another. Notice this, that ye may be healed. I want you to get this. When you confess your sins to the Lord, He forgives you. But everybody in this house, you need a good Christian brother or a good Christian sister that you have the utmost confidence in, that you can confess that to them. And when you do, I'm going to tell you something, they can pray for you, and that's where you start finding healing. But until then, the devil beats you up like a punching bag. There's two things, brothers and sisters, that we haven't done a good job, especially in our ranks, of doing. Number one, we haven't done a good job of talking about we each need each other and accountability. And you know what happens? We think, we get this American ideology is, I'm a man and I'll take myself up by my bootstraps and I can make this on my own. And that's okay, but it doesn't work in the Christian world. You're going to get your brains beat out. You say, Pastor, do you have an accountability group? I do. I have probably 6 men in my life. My call, Brother Hall's got my password to my computer. I don't have a passcode on my phone. Janet can look at my phone anytime she wants to. I'm going to meddle now, okay? I'm just telling you, I'm going to meddle now. If you can't let anybody see your phone but you, and as soon as somebody gets your phone, you start getting nervous. Yeah. 50%, brothers and sisters, are looking at stuff, men, that's a struggle in their life. 30% of women. We got to talk about this. We got to. Why? I'm tired of the church being a place where we got to pretend we're all right. Yeah. This has got to be a safe place that we understand, you know what? God saved us, He redeemed us, but He's also got to work a sanctification, and He's working on every one of us, and He's bringing us more like Him every day. But guess what? It's a process. And I'm not giving any of you license to sin because you're sinning without license. What I am saying is you need somebody in your life that you can be accountable to, so that when you struggle, you know what? You call them up and you say, you know what, buddy? I need prayer because I'm really struggling in this area. And this is one of the major reasons, y'all stay with me, that I love life groups. Because life groups, you know what? Life groups are that place where we can get accountable to one another, where we can talk about real issues, where we can start developing friendships. Listen, you can't know everybody in 3 minutes at a 3-minute meet and greet. It takes longer than 3 minutes to get to know everyone. But in those life groups, you can get to know somebody. You can begin to develop a relationship. And hopefully, you can get so close in a relationship that that person can be an accountability partner for you. And when you're really struggling, you can call them up and say, you know what? I need prayer. You know, I'm going to tell y'all something that happened to me. When I was traveling in Maryland, I was on the road 3 and 4 nights a week trying to earn a living for my family, starting a church. Janet was raising 2 kids basically by herself. Many times on Tuesday nights, I wouldn't be home. She would teach Bible study. She's an amazing person. I wish I could tell you that somehow I'm superhuman, but I'm not. I'm just a man, and I was in a hotel room. I'll never forget it. It was like the devil himself walked in that room. And I don't even know how to describe it, but unbelievable temptation flooded into that room. And I just didn't hardly feel like I could breathe. And I cried out to God. God, your word says that there is no temptation that is common to man that you have not made a way of escape. And can I tell you, I lie not, that was the very minute that Janet called me and said, Wayne, what's going on? And I said, Janet, I'm just facing some stuff right now that it feels overwhelming. And that sweetheart started praying for me. And I'm telling you, God is my witness. Just as quick as that spirit come into that room, that spirit left out. But you know what? You need your spouse. You need a brother. And you need a sister. Come on, somebody, stand to your feet and give the Lord some praise right now. Come on, all over this house, lift up your hands and give Him praise right now. Listen, just as somebody that loves you dearly and deeply. If you could, guys, you would, but you can't, so you won't. What does that mean? It means you can't make it by yourself. You need somebody that you can get honest with, because here's what I know. You can go to the Lord and God will forgive you of every one of your sins. But if you want to get healing, you need to find somebody. I'm not saying you need to get on Facebook. That's the wrong thing to do. No, that's stupid. Don't do that. I'm not saying you need to stand up here and tell everybody. No, that's stupid too. You don't need to do that. But you need to be able to get with a good brother and a good sister that can keep their mouth shut. And loves you and wants the best for you and is willing to listen to you. And when you confess that, listen, I've had people come and tell me, they said, Brother Nealon, I'm about to tell you something I've never told anyone before. And you know what I do? I almost start weeping, because when they tell me that, I know they're about to experience one of the greatest spiritual breakthroughs of their life. Because now, when they're willing to share that, now they're truly getting honest. And they're ready to detox their soul from being tortured by all this unconfessed sin. It may be the hardest thing you've ever done in your life to do what I'm talking about doing. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're willing to take your pastor up on this, it may be the hardest thing for you to do, but it'll also be the greatest thing you've ever done. You know why? Because what you're going to feel is, even though you're forgiven, you're going to feel this weight lift off of you. And all of that soul torture that the devil just keeps beating you up over. You're going to be healed, and your soul is going to start coming back together. Oh, hallelujah. I want you to bow your head. I want to pray over you tonight. Father, I come to you tonight, Lord. I know how we can play this game. I've played it. I've been in church all my life. I know what it is to be able to say praise the Lord and hallelujah and look the part and raise my hand. Yet, God, things were in my life that didn't need to be there and didn't belong. I know what it is for the enemy to torture my soul because of some things in my life. And God, as we walk into this new year, Lord, I'm just praying over this congregation, all of these sweet people. I'm praying that tonight, God, you would just do a work in our heart, do a work. A work that man can't do, but only you can do. God, would you draw this church to the foot of the cross? And then, God, would you help us to take the next step and say, Lord, put somebody in my life that's truly going to love me and hold confidence so that I can confess some things and I can start finding healing. There's people tonight, they're tired of being tortured, tired of it. And Lord, I don't want them to go another Sunday being under the weight, being shackled by this sin. So Father, take, Lord, your red blood and like an etch-a-sketch tonight, wash it over each and every one of us. Make us white as snow. In Jesus' mighty name. Now here's what I want you to do.
We pray that today's message has blessed you. For more about TPC DeQuincy, go to our website, tpcdq.church. Please join us Wednesday night at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Sunday night at 6 p.m. TPC is located at 301 West 4th Street in DeQuincy. TPC, loving God and loving people.